Come in, everybody. Come on into my office here at home, and I'm glad you're with me tonight. I think we're going to pray first, and then I'll make a couple announcements. I want to get right into the Word, and I just want you to please get your Bibles so you can study along with me. I'm going to do a little expository teaching tonight. That just means reading down through a chapter in the Bible. It's a small psalm, but we're going to go to Psalm 114. And I want you to go there with me. Please get there because this is a very important, I think it's very prophetic for today. So please get there with me. But first, let's talk to the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, what would we do if we didn't have you in our lives? And we have you to call on and we have you to love us. And we love you back, Jesus. And we're just so glad you're in this room tonight with us, Lord, wherever your sweet people are. They may be sitting at their kitchen table or in their bed or on their sofa or in their car, but wherever they are, I send this word to them this night in Jesus' name. I send healing to people that are feeling sick or down. Lord, I just bless them to come up and be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, bless this word of the Lord tonight. Amen. So come on in, let's get into the word, Psalms 114. I'm going to call my word tonight, or God's word, as it was, so shall it be. Now, I think it was Sunday, I talked to you about as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. But tonight, we're just going to not just tie it into one place, the flood, we're just going everywhere with it. I mean, it was Elijah's call, it was Jeremiah's, it was Paul, it was Peter, it was Jesus. As it was then, so shall it be again. Church, I'm just telling you what God did for them, he's going to do for us. Now, I want you to relax because I know the Governor Newsom got back in. He's going to stay another year, I think. That's what Brother Rick told me today. The governor's office will be one more year. But so I don't know what happened, whether it's fraudulent voting or a lot of people thought my vote won't count, so I didn't go vote. Well, I want you to know I voted, and I voted that he would leave, and that's what I was praying, along with many other Christians and churches around California. We united in prayer and prayed that he would leave, but he's still there. We woke up this morning and the man is still in office. So I don't know about all of that. All I know is God is in control. And if God wanted him out, all he had to do is just breathe and he would have been gone. So we will just continue to pray and be who we are in Jesus. All I know is as it was then, so shall it be now. So we're going to see some things, but I want to add some strength into your life tonight. I thank God for Landmark people. You guys are a people of strength. You are solid as a rock. You know who you are in Jesus and you know who he is. And I love it when I see you. I don't love to see you go through, but I love when I see you go through. You don't wait until you're through it to shout. You can shout right in the middle of it and have victory right where you are. So I give God for your strength and for who you are in God and for who you allow him to be in you. So I want to read. I'm going to dedicate this to you and to everyone who's listening because God, he's right here, people, to touch anyone that would allow him to come in. So keep your faith up, keep your shoulders back and your mind and your heart strong in him just as you've always done. And you wait and you will see as it was in the Bible days and as it was in your very best day, so shall it be. All right, Psalms 114. Let me read, I think I'll just read two verses. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Let us stop right there. Israel came out of Egypt's bondage. Now, that's always a picture of the Christians and the church today and the world we came out of. You and I, the Bible says that we were taken out of the power of darkness and we were translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now remember, it only calls God's kingdom. It was his kingdom. It didn't say the kingdom of Satan. It said we came out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear son. So when we came out, like the house of Jacob or the people of Israel, they came out of Egypt from, listen to this, a people of strange language. A people of strange language. And as I was thinking about you and I today, see, this is where it gets kind of tough for us sometimes, or tough for you, especially that are working, you have a job out in the world, and not everyone speaks your language. In fact, you've got the language of the kingdom, and some, you know, we kind of laugh sometimes and call it Christianese. I don't think it's Christianese. I think that you and I do have a language of the kingdom that we speak. We speak love, we speak righteousness. Sometimes we don't speak right. But I'll tell you this, folks, we do not speak the language of the world. And I can even tell my little grandchildren and some of the young people at church, their young parents, their children do not speak the language that the kids speak at school, because they come home and tell their parents. And you teenagers, I pray you are not speaking the language that they speak at school. There's got to be a different language between us and the world. And you that work with those people, this is why you just don't fit in sometimes, because you are working with a people that speak another language than what you know and what you hear and what you speak in your very being and in your heart. So they came out, and I want you to hear this, because I believe it was Matthew Henry commentary that said this. He said, yes, they came out from a people that spoke another language, but Israel did not endeavor to speak their language. They didn't learn to speak that language. And I want to say this, if you hang out with a sinner friend or the world's people, and you hang out with the wrong crowd, guess what? You may develop that language, and you may begin to speak their language. And if you do, that's just not a good thing, because it's going to pull you down. Now, I believe that this is one of the things that brought Israel out of that bondage, because they stayed away. They never learned to speak the language of their oppressors, because the devil is here to oppress us. He is our enemy, and we should never, ever learn to speak his language or the language that the world speaks. Well, then it goes on to say in verse 2, I told you I wanted you to have your Bible. You really need to get it, because I'm going to show you this. I want you to see this. In verse 2, it says, Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Now, when Judah, the praisers, Judah means praise, and Judah was, it also means a house of bread. Judah was a city. And it says that Judah became God's sanctuary. Now, if we're going to run that today, as it was, so shall it be. You and I are God's sanctuary. At 1 Corinthians says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He dwells and lives in us. We give him sanctuary. When we love him, we worship him. He's our God. We are his people. We are his sanctuary. Hallelujah. And it says Israel is his dominion, or his power. Dominion means power. Now, I told you last week, isn't it funny that the voting machines that they had that caused havoc or wreaked havoc, it was called the Dominion machines. They wanted to take power over voting, and it did. But it was a mockery to who God's people are, and it was a mockery to the truth of America. And so God says, I will not be mocked, be not deceived. Galatians 6:7, I will not be mocked. Now here it says Israel was his dominion. Israel was his power. Now let's take it a bit farther. You and I are God's power. You say, how can we be his power, Pastor? Because he lives and dwells in us, and he's not down here taking the power. He says we must take it. And so that's another reason why we cannot speak their language. We cannot talk the language of the oppressor. Now, when we look here and it talks about having dominion, I read something about a year ago, and I know I told you at church one time, if you've ever been to a circus, And my husband and I used to always take our little girls to the Ringling Brothers Circus. I don't even think they have them anymore. I think a couple years ago, the animal activists rose up and kicked them out. Isn't that amazing what just a few loud mouths can do? Now, we're not going to talk their language, but we must have a mighty voice. And we do have a mighty voice if we'll just use it. So anyway, we would go to that circus and out would come the lion trainer. And he would be in a big cage and the lion would be there. And that lion would be roaring and on a stool. And you think, how could this trainer go in there? And this guy would stand there and he'd have a whip and he would have a stool. And he'd hold that stool with one hand and the whip with the other. And he could almost make that big old lion do anything he wanted to do. And you know what was said about that? Somebody asked a lion trainer, said, why do you hold that stool up? Why do you use a stool and not something else? And the lion trainer said, because you've got the four legs. And when that animal, when that big lion sees those four legs, even though he's so huge, he focuses on those legs because he's afraid there's four of them. So he's afraid that they're going to attack him and get him. He's not sure what they are. So he keeps that up and he makes that big, huge lion focus on those legs. And I want to tell you, the devil is just like that, church. I never have forgotten that story because Jesus, listen, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Is he? The Bible says that Judah became his sanctuary. Jesus is the lion that came out of Judah, that dwells in Judah and now dwells in us. Now, we are lions in the tribe of who? Not Judah. We are lions in the tribe of the Lord. And so I believe the devil comes with everything that he can bring and puts it right up in front of our face. Why does he do that? To distract us, just like the lion trainer distracts the lion. And then he can make him do whatever he wants him to do with the whip and the stool. And so Satan wants to distract us and he tries to make us fear. Now, if he can get our mind and our heart focused on fear or focused on the world and all these things, then that's where he's going to take us. If the doctor gives you a bad report, then Satan comes with you and that's all you see is that one leg of that stool that I am sick. And so, and then the second one might be, oh no, am I going to die? And the third one may be this. And the fourth one is, oh, my finances. What am I going to do? What is my children going to do? And then we've got the media. We'll focus on the media and what they're saying. We will focus on COVID. We'll focus on everything going on. And when Governor Newsom got back in, oh my God, what's California going to do? We're going to do just what we did yesterday. And we're going to do the same thing tomorrow. We're just going to trust the Lord and keep serving him. So I'm going to tell you right now, Satan knows we have dominion. It said that Israel has his dominion and we have been grafted in. We are Israel as well. So we have his dominion. We are going down. I think that happened last week. Anyway, we're not going to allow him to distract us. And I want you to look at something here that is so absolutely powerful in verse 3. Listen how powerful that Jesus is, that one who is out. We are his sanctuary, the one who gives us dominion, and we are his power. It says the sea saw it and fled back, or the sea saw it and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills lambs. You say, what in the world did that say? Well, let me tell you. When it says the sea saw it and fled, what did they see? Oh, they saw Judah coming. They saw Judah who had God in their sanctuary, with their sanctuary. And they saw Israel coming who was his power. And when the sea, listen, this is real life, folks. This is the word of God. This is history. And when the sea, the Red Sea, saw the people of coming, the people of God coming, the Bible says it fled. I mean, it just got out of the way. That's one of the most amazing things that you'll ever read in your Bible. When the sea saw them, it fled. Now, let me read you something. I went back to Exodus chapter 14 and read all about that story. And it says that in verse 14, chapter 14 of Exodus, you can read the whole story. that Pharaoh said, oh, the people of God have left. And now they're down there in front of that sea. Here's the words he used. And he said, they are bewildered by the land. And the wilderness has closed them in. I'll read it one more time. They are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. He said, just like the old cartoon character, I got them where I want them, and I want them where I've got them. That's where I have them. Well, that's what he thought. And I believe that he's saying that about us right now. I believe he is saying that about America. He thinks America is losing the battle because of Afghanistan and because a four-star general would commit the serious crime that General Milley probably has committed without a doubt with China. He may be court-martialed. Who knows what's going on? Some of you say, what are you saying? I'm just saying the enemy is saying, I've got America where I want her and I'm going to keep her right there. No, he isn't. As it was, so shall it be. As it was, you can read it over and over and over in the Old Testament. God always does. That's how God works. You can read it. You can read who he is. That's just how he works. He just rolls up his sleeve and he exposes his right arm, his arm of power. And so he said, they're bewildered in the land. And I believe that Satan looks at us and he said, man, we've got COVID. We've got the pandemic. We've got the vaccine upheaval. We've got the world. We got the media. We have the mask. We masked them up. Now I've got them closed in. They're totally bewildered. I know you and I talk sometimes. We're like, what in the world is happening? Satan thinks he has us bewildered, and don't think he does not listen to what we are saying. Don't you talk other people's language. Maybe you're talking the language of a bewildered saint, one that's just totally lost it and full of fear and won't go to church or do anything, making all kinds of excuses and staying home because they're afraid. Don't be talking their language. Okay, this wilderness has not closed us in. We're not going to sit down and shut up. And they will not close us in. Now, the Bible says that Pharaoh, this is again in Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh went after them. Now, Israel was afraid. I'm not saying we don't get afraid and concerned. We do. But you cannot live in that because Jesus is our sanctuary and we are his dominion. And so we're his power, we're the strength that he's put in us, he's given it to us to use. So Pharaoh went after them, they were afraid, and they cried out to God. What do we do when we get afraid, you guys? We cry out to God. We get afraid, yes, and we cry out. And the Bible says in Psalms 34, they cried out to God. He heard them, and he delivered them. He still does the same thing today. As it was, so shall it be. You cry out to God, he hears you and he delivers. Well, then the Bible says when they cried out to God, the water stood up for the people of God and they walked across on dry ground. But then it says the water returned to its full depth and drowned his enemy. It didn't say the people of Israel's enemy. It said that the water returned to its full depth and it drowned his enemy, God's enemy. So any enemy of yours is an enemy of his. And any enemy of America or Israel is an enemy of his. And don't you dare forget it. As it was, so shall it be. He took care of them. He's going to take care of us just like that. Well, I want us to look at this. The sea saw them coming and it fled. Can you imagine the elements, the literal water, the sea just backing up? People of God were approaching and they're like, we better get out of their way. Here comes that dominion of God. Here comes the sanctuary of God coming right toward us. We better get out of the way. And they backed up, came right down on the enemy. Then it goes a little bit farther in Psalms 114, verse 3, and it says, Jordan turned back. Now here's another occasion. Jordan turned back. The waters of the Jordan, it says, immediately, as the priest who carried the ark on their shoulders, it says when they were backed up against the sea and Satan thought he had them again. And it says, but when the priest who carried the ark, when their feet stepped into the Jordan, you really need to read it. When their feet rested. No, it says when their feet rested in the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan were cut off. They just split. The waters of Jordan split when they rested in the water. Sometimes, folks, we get in the water, literally, and you rest there. He leads us beside still waters. So watch your language and watch what other people are saying around you. And you stay cool and you stay refreshed in Jesus, because we've got some things that need to be cut out and cut away. And there's some things that's going to be running away from the church as they see us coming. Listen to this part. Now, it says that, this is over in Exodus 2, that the waters that came from upstream, there were some waters that came from upstream, they stood up as a heap, and the people crossed over. Now, if God has to send us some waters from downstream to cut this political upheaval and this demonic, even one of the news reporters said this is a diabolical scheme, a demonic happenings, it's coming straight from hell. I know we see men and women, but the Bible says it's not flesh and blood, that we know where its source is coming from. But God said, let me send you some waters from upstream, from heaven. I'll send you waters from heaven, and they'll stand up, and you will cross over. Telling you, church, as it was, so shall it be. Oh, and I love this. Look at this. This is so precious. It's so sweet. I've always loved this. So the sea saw it in verse 3 and fled. And then Jordan said, man, I'm getting out of here. I'm just going to move out of here. Wait, let me also remind you. One morning, let me just jump back here for a minute. Maybe I just wanted to bring this to you. One morning I was sitting here, I was fretting about something. It was Sunday morning, very early. And Sherlock Valley calls me and he says, hey, sis, I got to tell you something. He says, God said to tell you that the only time that the Jordan was overflowing is when it was harvest time. And the Jordan always overflows its banks at harvest time. So whatever you in the church is going through right now, I'm just telling you, it's harvest time. And so you wait and you'll see the harvest. Well, the Jordan, the Bible says, I looked it up in Exodus 14 today, the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest. All of the people, it says all of them, I'm going to say the entire church, completely passed over Jordan. A Jordan is a difficult place. Now, you and I have been in a difficult place for the past few months, past couple of years. All churches. Now, some people haven't dealt with it as much as others. But the Jordan has, I mean, totally overflowed its banks. But it says, man, you all pass over it. It's just time of harvest. So you all be encouraged that your harvest, hallelujah, is upon you. Now look at this. I got to show you. Verse 4, the mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. Now we're still talking about the same thing. Remember, we're talking about the people of Israel coming out. We're talking about Judah being the sanctuary, Israel the dominion, and the sea seeing God's people coming, and it ran away, and the Jordan split, and now it said the mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. Now, I haven't seen a little lamb jumping around because I've never been around baby lambs too much before, but I have been around baby calves. Hundreds of baby calves used to be born on the ranch at the same time. And I'd see those little babies and they would just skip around and jump around and they were the cutest things. And sometime we had 10 black Angus bulls. And every now and then you'd see that old bull just be in a great mood and he'd just kind of jump around and skip around. And I could see this today. It said the mountain skipped like rams. And the hills, these little old hills up around the Indian reservation that surround us, and the Sierras and the Ponderosas and Sequoias. Can you imagine those hills just playing around and skipping? You said, what is that talking about? Well, I also went back to the book of Numbers and back to Exodus and looked at that today. And when God spoke to Moses, he spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai. He said, tell the people not to touch mountain when I speak or they'll die. And when God spoke, and you know the mountain was filled with smoke, it says the mountain quake greatly. That's what I was talking about. That when God's voice, all God's voice has to do is speak, and it rattles and shakes everything. And then it says, even the little hills, they skipped like little lambs. So whatever God's voice speaks, can I just take a minute and read to you Psalms 29? I hope you have your Bibles or something. Write this down in so you can read it later. Let me just tell you, you know, I was telling you that it was just saying that how the mountains shaked and quaked, and the little lambs, like a little lamb skipping. Listen to this. His voice is so powerful, so strong. Psalms 29, you need to read it. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Listen to this. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. He just speaks, and those big old sequoia trees would just split right in half. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. Have you ever realized how many cedars are in Lebanon? Millions, not thousands, millions. And it's hard wood. And it says the voice of the Lord will just splinter those old cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also, look at this, to skip like a little calf. Lebanon and Sirlon like a young wild ox. There it is. I was right. It was the bull and the lamb or the calf. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. Just the voice of God. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer. Listen to this one. Ladies, you're going to love this. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. You've got a deer expecting, and it hears God's voice. There it goes. The voice of the Lord will strip the forest bare. Oh, we've had fires all over, but it says you ought to see what the voice of the Lord can do. He can just strip that forest bare. In fact, they could have done that. Who knows? And in his temple, everyone says, glory. Would you say that with me? Because we're in the temple right now. Would you say it? Glory, glory, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. And the Lord sets his king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. That's our God. That's the one whose sanctuary's in us. That's the one who gave us his strength. That's the one who these people are mocking today and say, we don't want you anywhere around us. That's the one that flaunts what they're doing and flaunts their filth and their unrighteousness and their lawlessness. But as it was, so shall it be. God's going to step out. Listen, whenever it pleases him, and his enemies will scatter again. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. That's all he's going to do. Let him speak one more time, church, and we've never seen anything like it. I prophesy that to you tonight. All right, look. Let me read here just a little bit more. I'm about finished, because verse 5, I can't read this without reading verse 5. This is hilarious, because David now is so fed up, and he knows how powerful his God is. And then he makes fun and he mocks the Red Sea and the Jordan, and he says, what ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? Oh, mountains that you skip like rams. Oh, little hills, little lambs, what ailed you? In other words, what was the matter, oh, Red Sea? What was the matter, Jordan? Why did you mountain skip like that? Why'd you just run away and act like a little lamb or a ram or a calf? What's wrong with you? Just mocked him. And we're going to see these enemies mocked. And he mocked them, and then he says this, oh, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you today, folks, they better, and they are going to. They're going to start to tremble now. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water and the flint into a fountain of waters. Listen, I'm going to tell you, God's earth is speaking. It's convulsing. The earth is crying out to God. The elements are crying out. The people are crying out. Our spirits are crying out. The bride and the Holy Spirit cry, come, Lord. Now, let me read you one more thing out of Psalms 107. I've got to just complete this because I want you to see there where it said, oh, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Let me show you his presence and you'll see why they're talking about, where am I? Psalms, oh yes, here it is. Look, Psalms 107:33, if you're reading along. If not, write this down. Psalms 107:33. Ah, this is why they must tremble. He turns, in verse 33, he turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. If he wants to, he said, I'll just dry the whole thing up. Well, I'll turn the fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, but for us. And I'll turn dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place. And sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. I'm going to tell you something. That is a powerful God. He said, I'll dry their waters up, and I'll turn that dry land into a wilderness for my precious people. I love you, and let me tell you, folks, as it was, so shall it forever be. God has not changed. He's not a God that he should change. But the rock that it's talking about there in Psalms 114 says, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, because he can do whatever he wants to do, whatever he desires at any time, and he doesn't have to ask anybody's permission. And he knows us all, by the way. He knows everybody. Tremble, O Lord, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Jacob, who turned a rock into a pool of water when Moses struck it. Israel needed water. That was an impossible thing. I mean, you're talking about a sign and wonder. God said, Moses, now one time he said, speak to it. But at this point, he said, strike the rock. And Moses hit it twice and water ran out and fed their animals and the people for years. And the flint into a fountain of water. That means dry ground. He just took that old dry wilderness where Satan said, I've got you pinned in. You're bewildered at the land. And I've got you closed in. No. Not with God as our Savior. Never. 1,000 times no. God will do as he pleases with us. And when our God pleases, he will make his enemies tremble. And we are starting to see it right now. The one who was and is to come is the same one that as he did, so will he do now. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Don't you love God's word? It is just so powerful and so strong and so amazing. And you know what? You're amazing too. He has amazing people. And I want us to come into a closer relationship with each other. We love each other. I love you. And if COVID has done anything, I believe it's brought us closer. I believe it's brought us closer to God. And when Satan said, I've pinned you in, he hasn't done anything. He can't. And so we stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, he lives inside you. You are his sanctuary and you are his dominion. You are his power. Well, Father, thank you tonight for your mighty word. Lord, I just thank you for your glory, your strength, and your power upon your people. I bless everyone who is listening tonight, everyone, Lord, that needs a touch in their body, a touch in their life, a touch in their finances, wherever it is. And Father, we cover America tonight. We cover our leaders. Lord, we pray that Joe Biden, Lord, would come to know you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you would protect him from predators around him. And Lord, that you would bring revival and glory into that White House. Father, either stand and show your enemies who you are, or save them, or both. And so, Lord, we're believing you that you will also take care of those precious children and women and men who are the underground church in Afghanistan and China. Take care of those precious, precious saints of God. Lord, we honor you. We love you. And may you cause us to rise and shine and be a light for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my sweet people, the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he be gracious to you, turn his countenance towards you and be gracious to you, and give you sweet peace and divine health and all that you have need of. And that Jordan that is overflowed, may you see a mighty harvest from upstream. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you so much.